If you'd open your Bibles with me to the book of 1 Samuel and chapter 23. 1 Samuel chapter 23. We'll be looking at verses 14 through 18 of 1 Samuel chapter 23, but we'll read from verse 14 to the end of the chapter. We've been looking at the life of David in a series entitled A Man After God's Own Heart. And as we do so, we come to the section in 1 Samuel chapter 23 in which David finds himself in a very discouraging position, but where Jonathan comes and brings encouragement to him. So we'll begin our reading then in 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 14, and we'll read through verse 29. Hear now the word of God. And David stayed in strongholds in the wilderness and remained in the mountains in the wilderness of Ziph. Saul sought him every day, but God did not deliver him into his hand. So David saw that Saul had come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a forest. Then Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the woods and strengthened his hand in God. And he said to him, "Do not fear, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you. Even my father Saul knows that." So the two of them made a covenant before the Lord. And David stayed in the woods, and Jonathan went to his own house. Then the Ziphites came up to Saul at Gibeah, saying, "Is David not hiding with us in the strongholds in the woods, in the hill of Hakilah, which is on the south of Jeshimon? Now therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of your soul to come down, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hand." And Saul said, "Blessed are you of the Lord, for you have compassion on me. Please go and find out for sure, and see the place where his hideout is, and who has seen him there, for I am told he is very crafty. See therefore, and take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hides, and come back to me with certainty, and I will go with you. And it shall be, if he is in the land, that I will search for him throughout all the clans of Judah." So they arose and went to Ziph before Saul. But David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon, and in the plain on the south of Jeshimon. When Saul and his men went to seek him, they told David. Therefore he went down to the rock and stayed in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard that, he pursued David in the wilderness of Maon. Then Saul went on one side of the mountain, and David and his men on the other side of the mountain. So David made haste to get away from Saul, for Saul and his men were encircling David and his men to take them. But a messenger came to Saul, saying, "Hurry and come, for the Philistines are invading the land." Therefore Saul returned from pursuing David and went against the Philistines. So they called that place the Rock of Escape. Then David went up from there and dwelt in the strongholds at En-Gedi. And thus far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us pray. Our God, we thank you for your word. And as we look at this portion of your word this evening, we pray that you would bless it to us, that you would encourage our hearts by it, and that you would help us to be those who encourage others in the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I wonder if you've ever heard the phrase, "I'll scratch your back," and you could probably finish it, right? "If you scratch mine." And my grandmother, who I loved dearly, she lost my grandfather before I was born. And so my father was probably graduating high school or just out of high school when my grandfather died. And one thing I remember about my grandmother is in her house she would have these back scratchers. Now, why did she have these back scratchers? Well, my grandfather had died, and she lived by herself. Now, some of you children, who are probably a lot more flexible than I am, you can reach back and scratch, but I cannot. You lose flexibility. You can't get at that spot, right? We need someone else or something else to reach the itch. Scratch my back. Now, What does back scratching have to do with encouragement? You might be asking. Well, I think there's a parallel there, isn't there? Because when we're discouraged, we have a hard time encouraging ourselves. We need someone else to come along and bring encouragement. We're very bad self-encouragers. Now, David, we're going to see, is in a place of discouragement here as we look at verses 14 through 18. But it's no surprise, is it, that we get discouraged? In fact, have you been discouraged? I have. Are you discouraged now about whatever it is? Why do we get discouraged? Well, because we live in a discouraging world filled with sin, filled with heartache, filled with problems. And so it's not a surprise that we get discouraged from time to time. But that's why tonight I want to look at this and remind you that even in discouragement, we have an encouraging word from God. We cannot forget that. Because the temptation is to do just that. To look at everything and say, I am just in this area of discouragement and there's no way out, there's no hope, there's no word of encouragement. And that might be what David is feeling here. But even beyond being encouraged, we need to learn how to be encouragers. We need to pass that on. We need to understand the encouragement we have in Christ. We need to understand the encouragement that we have in God's Word. And we need to then encourage others. We need to be an encouraging people. We need to be an encouraging church. Now, I think we do well there, but we can always do better, can't we? We have to remind ourselves of the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ daily, weekly, as often as we can, and remind others of that. Now, David has just come off a very discouraging encounter in Keilah. Remember what happened? He went there, he fought against the Philistines, he saved the city. They should be having a parade for him. Thank you, David. And yet, he asked God, what are they going to do? Saul's coming. Are they going to protect me or are they going to throw me to the wolves? And God says, they're not going to protect you. Even though you save them, they're going to throw you out. So David leaves. Now, David is traveling, we're told, in verse 14, in the wilderness, in the strongholds. And he's in the mountains in the wilderness of Ziph. Now, Ziph is to the west of the Dead Sea. It's in the region of Judah. And it is a place that has many forests, and we're going to see that David is in a forest, many areas that are overgrown, good places to hide, many rocky outcrops. But David is traveling there. This is about 16 miles south of Bethlehem, west of the Dead Sea. But not only has he come from that discouragement, when he's here, he's going to receive even more discouraging news. Guess what? Saul is not giving up. He's coming for you still. He's seeking your life. And then, we're going to see this, Lord willing, next Lord's Day evening, he's going to face future discouragement because the Ziphites, who are of his own tribe, the tribe of Judah, are going to betray him into the hands, or attempt to betray him into the hands of Saul. So he's coming off discouragement, he's facing discouragement, and he's going to end up facing more discouragement. If anyone needs encouragement here, it's David. And we're no different. We don't face these types of discouragements, but we do face discouragements, don't we? So what I want to look at tonight as we think about this is that we need God's encouraging word because we live in a discouraging world. We need God's encouraging word because we live in a discouraging world. And two things I want to focus on. One, we need to receive encouragement. I want to look at why we need to receive encouragement. And then second, we need to be able to give encouragement that we've received. So why do we need to receive encouragement? Well, we've looked at this a little bit. I've already brought out some of the reasons that David would need to receive encouragement. He would need to receive encouragement because of past discouragements. Not only in Keilah, but in other ways. Remember, Saul had tried to throw the spear at him multiple times. He has had to abandon his wife. He's had to then abandon his best friend. He's had all of these past discouragements. And he needs encouragement. But he also has this present discouragement. Look at this in verse 14. Saul sought him every day. Saul sought him every day. Where was Saul's mind? It was on David. It was fixated on killing David. Saul sought him every day. If we were to write an obituary for Saul, it might read like this. He is survived by his son-in-law David, son of Jesse, whom he sought all his days. But God did not deliver him into his hand. Notice that. But God did not deliver him into his hand. Now Saul was seeking him, wanting him, but God wasn't going to allow this to happen because God has plans for David. He's the anointed one. He's the one who's going to be Israel's next king. He's the one through whom the Lord Jesus is going to come, most importantly. But this teaches us, I think, that war against God's people is going to come. Persecution is going to come. That's a reason that we need to receive encouragement, because we're going to face persecution. The New Testament talks about that. Galatians 4 and verse 29. But as he who was born according to the flesh, speaking of Ishmael, then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. Even so it is now. Now, Paul was writing to the church in Galatia. And this is God's word to us. Even so it is now. Now, we don't face, in God's providence, in his mercy and his grace, the type of persecution that many face around the world today. But I can't guarantee that it's not coming. We need to have encouragement because of persecution. He's being persecuted, but also he's going to have future discouragements. Yes, God is not delivering him into Saul's hand, but the Ziphites are going to try to do that, aren't they? And these are his own tribe members. These should have been the ones who defended him. And yet, they're willing, as we'll see next week, to just deliver him over to Saul. To go back to the earlier illustration, David had an itch that he could not scratch, didn't he? I mean, think about it. He's there with 600 men, but he probably never felt more alone. Who's going to help me? What's going to happen to me? I'm discouraged. So we need to know that we absolutely must receive encouragement because of all the discouragements that we face. But know that we need to give encouragement. And as we see how we both give what we've received, we look at what Jonathan does to David. This is a beautiful passage in verse 16. Then Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the woods and strengthened his hand in God. Just those words, strengthened his hand in God. That's the encouragement that Jonathan brings. And there's a few things here as we think about giving encouragement that I want you to notice that is instructive about what Jonathan does. First, he gives timely encouragement. He knows when David needs this. Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the woods. So you see, Jonathan takes the initiative. He doesn't say, well, if David wants my help, he'll come to me. And so I'll just wait for him to reach out, and then I'll be sure to encourage him. No, he says, you know what? David needs encouragement. I'm going to him now. He arose, he went to David because he knew that he needed to be strengthened. And so he found him in the woods, probably able to travel lighter than Saul with his army. He finds David in the woods, and he strengthens his hand in God. I think Jonathan was blessed in this as well. Certainly the Bible says what it's better to give than to receive. And I think that when we give encouragement, we receive encouragement. In fact, I think when we give encouragement, we learn how to receive encouragement. But how do we do this? How is it that we are to give timely encouragement? Well, we have to know what others are going through. We're not told here, but I'm sure that Jonathan had his ear to the ground. He was listening. What's going on? He was going through all the military reports, all the intelligence reports. Where's David? What are they saying? And he finds out where David is. Well, we need to be listening to others. We need to know others. What's going on in their lives? Where they might need encouragement. That means listening to people. That means spending time with people. That means becoming interested in their lives. And I think that's one of the ways in which the devil wants to break us down. He wants to divide us. He wants us to go about our own lives isolated from everyone else. And then he has us in pockets of discouragement. It's great. You can be discouraged by yourself over here, and you can be discouraged by yourself over here, and you can be discouraged by yourself over here. But when we get together and we encourage one another, we see that we actually can give this timely encouragement. But notice in verse 17, the encouragement that he gives, it is trusted encouragement. He said to him, "Do not fear, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you. Even my father Saul knows that." Now, Jonathan here is going back to the promises of God to David. Jonathan doesn't come in and say, "Trust me. Listen, I have a plan. I know my father. I know where his troops are. I know how we can skirt around the south and avoid him." No, Jonathan goes to God's word. He says, "Listen, David, remember what God has promised." And what has God promised? A few chapters before, 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 13. David's anointing. "Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah." And there, God promised David would be on the throne. Now, in order to be a king on the throne, you have to be alive. So the logic is simple. David, God has promised that you're going to be on the throne. Saul's not going to get you. It's not going to happen. Because God's word says. He probably also then reminded him of everything that God had done through him. "Remember Goliath, David. Remember what God did. Remember how you stood against that Philistine and he went down. Remember the thousands that you have defeated in battle. Was that your doing or was that God's?" Do you think that if God could take out Goliath, if God could take out the 10,000s, that Saul's a problem? And to put the icing on the cake, what does Jonathan say? "Even my father Saul knows it." Even my father knows it. You see, Saul understood what was going on. He didn't want to admit it. He didn't want to admit defeat. But remember what Samuel tells Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 13. He says, "Because you have done this, because you have disobeyed the Lord, he is going to tear the kingdom away from you and give it to another. It's David who he's going to give it to." So Saul knows this. Jonathan comes and he gives timely encouragement, but he also then gives this trusted encouragement. And how does he do this? Well, he goes back to God's word, doesn't he? He says, "Let's look at God's word and let's see what God's word says about the situation." And that's the same thing we do. When we want to encourage others, we have to know God's word. We have to recall God's word, be able to apply God's word to the situation. That's the trust and encouragement that we bring. But then notice in verse 18. "So the two of them made a covenant before the Lord. And David stayed in the woods, and Jonathan went to his own house." Now, this is not the first time that they have made a covenant, an agreement before the Lord. But here they renew that covenant, that friendship that they have. And this is, I think, true encouragement. You see, what Jonathan does is he doesn't say, David, look at your circumstances. He doesn't say, look at Keilah, look at Saul who's seeking you every day, and oh, by the way, now he doesn't know this, but in the future, look at your circumstances when David goes and is betrayed by the Ziphites. He doesn't say, look around. He doesn't say, look to me, look to my counsel because I'm wise. He doesn't say, look to yourself, but what does he say? They made a covenant before the Lord. You see, he looks to the Lord's faithfulness, the Lord's covenant. The Lord's, then, care. He says, look to God. One commentator puts it like this. He put David's hand, as it were, into God's hand. Now that's how to encourage people. Because if we are the source of encouragement, we're not going to do very well. Because we're probably discouraged. But you say to somebody, let me take your hand. And let me put your hand in God's hand. And you walk with him. That's true encouragement. And that's what Jonathan does here. Jonathan is the one who comes and brings encouragement. A minister, Andrew Bonar, referred in his diary in May 26 of 1860 of a visit to a previous church he had served. And he talked about an old retreat in some woods there, the woods of Dunsinane. And you know what he said? He said this. This is the place I used to call the Wood of Ziph, where God has often strengthened my hands, my divine Jonathan meeting me there. The Wood of Ziph, where God strengthened my hand, the divine Jonathan meeting me there. Who's he talking about? The divine Jonathan, he's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying it is Christ who is the one who truly can bring encouragement. And as we think about in the context here of discouragement, past discouragement, present discouragement, future discouragement, look at the answer that the Lord Jesus gives. Past discouragement, what does he say? That he loved us so much that he would go to the cross. I love John 13 verse 1. He loved them to the end. He loved them to the end. Greater love has no man than this. He laid down his life for his friends. All of our sins paid for. But what about the present? What about present discouragements? What does Jesus say? He says, lo, I am with you, even to the end of the age. What about future? Well, what does the Lord Jesus tell us? I go to prepare a place for you. You see, he deals with past discouragement. He deals with present discouragement. And he deals with future discouragement. But how does that happen? Well, it happens as we relate to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, perhaps you've heard this little anecdote. There's a husband who told his wife, I love you, on their wedding day. And then years later, the wife complained that her husband had not told her he loved her since their wedding day. And the husband was asked, well, why haven't you told her you loved her? And he said, well, I've never changed my mind, so I didn't think it was necessary. Now, he may have loved her, but what wasn't he doing? He wasn't expressing that. He wasn't doing that. Well, Jonathan and David, they express that here by covenant. They renew the covenant before the Lord. We need to renew, as it were, the covenant. Not that we're outside the covenant, but as we then engage with the great encourager, the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to do so regularly. That's part of being encouraged. We need to express this regularly, frequently, continuously. And how do we do that? Well, we're doing that here tonight, aren't we? We gather together for worship. We do that as we read God's word, as we meditate upon it, as we come to him in prayer. But see, it's out of that that we can become encouragers, because when we've been encouraged by the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be used to encourage others. Well, certainly David needed encouragement, didn't he? He'd been rejected by the very people he saved in Keilah. Saul was seeking him every day to take his life. He was going to be betrayed by the Ziphites. And enter Jonathan. At the right time, with the right words, and pointing him to the right source, to God. Jonathan is that encourager. Now, are we any different than David? We're not, are we? You're going to face discouragement. No doubt about it. You may face persecution as those in the church. How are you going to deal with it? Are you going to try to scratch your own back? It's not going to work out very well. You need to first go to the Lord Jesus Christ, the great encourager. And then you need to seek others. But from that place, you need to be an encourager. And so I would ask, are you discouraged? Well, then seek the Lord Jesus Christ, the great encourager. Do you know others who are discouraged right now? Are you taking that step? It may be fearful to take that step. Oh, I don't want to get involved. No, you need to get involved. You need to be an encourager. But you need to remember that you can't do it alone. You point them to God. You point them to His Word. You point them to the Lord Jesus Christ, the only one who can truly bring encouragement. That's fitting here. In verse 18, that we read of the last interaction in this life between David and Jonathan. These are the last words that Jonathan spoke to David that are recorded for us. And it's how fitting is it that they were words of comfort and encouragement. I don't know about you, but this is what I want people to remember about me. And people remember us. We want them to think, the last time we saw them, they strengthened our hand in God. May it be so by God's grace. Amen. Let's pray. Our God, we thank You for Your Word. And we thank You, God, that even though we do face many discouragements in this world, that You have provided all that we need in Christ, that You have given us great comfort and encouragement in Him. And now help us, God, to be those who seek to comfort others, to encourage others, to love others as You have called us to do, that we might build one another up, that we might strengthen one another in the faith. And now we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.